Amen. Praise the Lord. I thank the Lord for this conference, truly, and for His speaking. His speaking is not in the first line to inform us, but to purify and sanctify us. That's what the Word says in Ephesians chapter 5, that He purifies and cleanses His church through the washing of the water and the Word. And that's why we're here. And especially now, at the time of His coming, that we would be cleansed, sanctified, prepared, and even perfected. That's why we praise the Lord. And here in Roman numeral 5, it says that the priesthood is God's covenant with Levi. It was so good to see this morning that the royal priesthood is the main focus, is the main point of God's purpose. And in the last times, the Lord is revealing it again to us. And here I have my great big Bible here. This Bible's pretty thick. And there are many things in God's Word. There's much to see, there's much to read, but there's still one main point. And Hebrews tells us, what is the main point? Christ, our high priest. And not only Christ, the high priest, because the high priest needs the priesthood. So what's the main point of the high priest? The main point is the high priest and his priesthood. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, we saw what kind of a priesthood it was. And we also have to ask ourselves, what kind of a church are we? The Lord doesn't just want any kind of a church or any kind of priesthood. And priesthood isn't just to say, praise the Lord, I'm a priest. Of course, the Lord has called us all to be priests. But the question is, what kind of a priesthood are we? And Peter said it has to be a holy priesthood. Then he said a royal priesthood. So we have to ask us in the light of the Lord, how holy are we? How royal are we? I think we all realize that the Lord still has quite a bit to do in us. But praise the Lord, we should also have hope and joy and faith that the Lord will complete His work in us. And thank the Lord that we can be here at this place. I don't want to be in any other place in this world except to be here, where the Lord is in our midst and speaking His word to us. And now, surely He wants to show us more how we can be perfected. This was really my question last night after the word that we heard and saw the signs of the times. And now God is giving us another update that can't be any clearer. Who can think of such a thing, such a sign, such an arrangement with so many details? It's wonderful. Our God is wonderful. He gives us clear signs. And after this word, my question was, Lord, okay, if You've given us such a clear sign, Lord, what should I do? And what is still lacking in me and in the saints? Show it to me. And this is what this conference is for. This conference only has one goal, that God would fulfill His plan with us and shows us what is still lacking. That's why, as such hearers, we should be hearing to be doers. It's not that we would know more and understand more and learn more, but we want that the word would be effective and that we would also do it. It's wonderful. I read another verse concerning the priesthood, that Isaiah chapter 61, verse 6, which is a wonderful summary. Isaiah 61, verse 6. It says, but you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Some say this with quotation marks. It's our name, priests of the Lord. Today we call ourselves believers, Christians, but we should rather call ourselves the priests of the Lord. If someone says, who are you? We are priests of the Lord. And what else? They shall call you the servants of our God. Wonderful. Daniel was known for such a thing. The king knew that he was his subject, but actually that Daniel was a servant of the living God. And this is the same case with us. Do people know and recognize us as priests of the Lord and servants of the living God? And he said, you shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. It's wonderful. This will happen in the coming kingdom. The Lord has prepared the whole earth as an inheritance for us. And now we are in the last leg to prepare ourselves for this. Isn't it such a wonderful to have such a hope and such an inheritance? So we praise the Lord for the remaining part of the conference, and let us pray for it and ask the Lord, what is still lacking? What do we need now? What should we do with this limited time that we still have? I think if we all have this question in our hearts and ask the Lord continually, daily, he will surely show us what we still need to do. And we just read in Malachi chapter 2, it's not just this section, but actually the whole book of Malachi, which shows us so much what we need to know as priests. This morning, it was briefly spoken about Levi. And here in Malachi chapter 2, verse 4, there's the term, my covenant with Levi. In verse 1, we said, and now, O priests, this commandment is for you. This is a word specifically for us priests. And when you read the book of Malachi, I encourage you all to read it again. We had a conference a few years ago about it, but now it's also very present. He has a desire, a burden for the priests. He is speaking specifically to the priests. And of course, today God is caring for all the people and his people. And still, God has special interest for his priests and at our condition, of our condition. And he says, my covenant with Levi. And this morning we saw why it is a covenant with Levi. Because the majority of the people already fell shortly after God revealed to them that they should be a kingdom of priests. They fell. That was in Exodus chapter 32. I'm going to go there. Verse 25. This is exactly the place that was mentioned this morning. And you have to imagine, it's hard to grasp. In Exodus chapter 19, just a few chapters ahead, God gave them this wonderful, glorious revelation. You should be a kingdom of priests to me, my own special people. And at that time, they already experienced the wonders of God. They experienced the 10 plagues. And even what was even stronger was the going through the Red Sea. They really experienced this living God. And then when they were in the other side of the wilderness, God gave them his purpose. And then in chapter 32, Exodus 32, they couldn't even last 40 days. And not only did they start to fight amongst themselves, that's already bad in itself, but they made an idol for themselves. Can you imagine that? After they experienced the living God in such a way, they made an idol for themselves. And I think what's even worse is that Aaron was a part of it, or did it. He is the one who actually should have controlled the people. Exodus chapter 32, verse 25. Now when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, for Aaron had not restrained them, Aaron actually should have been in charge and make sure that they did not commit this heavy sin, the serious sin. And the result was that Moses drew a line and said, come to me if you are on God's side. If I were there, everybody would have been shocked. I would have expected that at least the half would have come over, at least three tribes, but only the tribe of Levi came to his side. God was very strict, and he even commanded them that they should kill his brother, every man kill his brother. You could see this was a terrible thing for God. But in verse 29, he says to Levi, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, that he may bestow on you a blessing this day, for every man has opposed his son and his brother. And the blessing was that they received the priesthood. But actually, it should have been for all. And why are we speaking about it? Because it's exactly the same in our time today. A kingdom of priests is actually a calling for all the Christians. It's nothing exclusive in that view. God is not saying, oh, it's just for him and him, that guy. But it's actually for all. But it's exclusive because the majority of the people don't want it. Just the same as it was there. It's like God didn't say, oh, just the Levites are the priests. No. That was the decision of the people. It was limited to Levi because the other 11 tribes didn't want it. And that's how it is today when we talk to other Christians. Many Christians are not joyful about it or even open to it. The majority of God's people do not want to have it. They would like to and love to experience the Lord, that he would help them and make their life better when they have problems. We call on him. But to be a priest that would always be available for the Lord, who live him and would serve him, many don't want that. But if the Lord opens our eyes, we see what a privilege it is. What a blessing. He spoke to the Levites and said, I give you the blessing. To be a priest of God is the greatest blessing that a man can experience. There's nothing more glorious. There's truly nothing more glorious. So the priesthood became a reward for the tribe of Levi. I looked it up. Levi means the one who hangs on him, dependent, or the faithful one. So as we saw in the winter conference, we should be not only dependent on him, but be faithful to him. In this last leg, it's very much about being faithful to him through Christ, who is the faithful one in us. And here in Malachi chapter 2, verse 5, he says what kind of a covenant it is. And this is also very important to see what kind of a covenant it is. He said, my covenant was with him one of life and peace. My covenant was with him one of life and peace. Is that not wonderful? God made such a glorious covenant with Levi and also with us today. Life and peace. And when I read that recently, another verse I was reminded of, which is also has life and peace. We can read that together. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. I'm going to read it to you. And this is important. How we can experience this covenant. There it says, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Wonderful. And then it says, because the mind set on the flesh is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And this is important to see. The mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. That means, how can we experience this covenant? How can we experience life and peace? Only in the Spirit. Only when we live in the Spirit and learn to walk according to the Spirit. That's why we cannot just say, oh, praise the Lord. Now we're the priesthood. No. What is important is that we walk in the Spirit and that we set our mind on the Spirit. And the problem with this, according the question as a standard is, are we in the Spirit if we're doing nothing or if we're relaxing? Are you always in the Spirit? What comes out? What is expressed? The flesh. We spoke about this a few days, right? Right, brother? The default mode is the flesh. And he said, yes, the default mode, if we're doing nothing and we just let ourselves go, we are in the flesh and in ourself. And that's why as priests, we must learn to set. It starts with our mind, to set our mind on the Spirit and to tell the Lord, Lord, teach me to walk by the Spirit. It's only then when we experience this covenant. For this covenant has to be kept. Kept. And it becomes so practical in our daily living. How much life do I have? And so important. What's the use if the priesthood is dead? Is a dead church for good for God? Or what use does he have of it? A dead priesthood. If we see that we are a priesthood, but we're dead half of the time. Because we're in the flesh. Because our mind is set on the flesh. And dear saints, don't think that this is far from us. The flesh is not far from us at all. Unfortunately, until the Lord comes, the flesh is very near to us. And even ourself. Sometimes we have in ourself, we think, oh, to be fleshly is to have outbursts of wrath and crazy things. Yes, that it is too. But to be in the flesh can also be many things that are very near to us. This afternoon, we spoke to some saints about the separation that we, the division that we experienced about 10 years ago. We can think that we are doing God's will and fully be in the flesh and in ourselves and fully live out our ego. But at the same time, you're thinking you're in the Spirit and you're fighting for the right thing. You're doing the will of the Lord. This is very deceitful. That's why we need, and this is the main burden of tonight, we also need the fear of God, not just to live loosely. If we live loosely, our flesh will just come out. Our self will come out. And there'll be no covenant of life and peace. Life and peace only come by the Spirit and the Lord, a priesthood that learns to live in the Spirit. And we have to exercise and practice this every day. Cannot cease to practice. In the beginning, when you wake up, Lord, I set my spirit, my mind on the Spirit. I don't want to be in my flesh, live on myself. What is expressed? It's so bad. If we express ourselves as priests, and then that means we're expressing the devil, nothing else. So for this reason, let us learn to walk according to the Spirit. So in Malachi chapter 2, verse 5, life and peace, that he would fear me. And he feared me and was reverent before my name. And this is so important. Who fears the Lord today, even amongst God's people, even among us? And have we asked ourselves, how much do we fear the Lord? How much reverence do we have before his name? In Malachi, it's mentioned often, there's a strong verse in Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts. To whom? To you priests who despise my name. And then he continues and shows how they have despised his name. They have despised the table of the Lord. And they brought offerings that were lame, blind, sick, that they wouldn't have even brought to their master. In verse 10, he says, God says, who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? He would rather have the doors shut. And how is it among God's people today, and even among us? How do we serve the Lord? Do we serve the Lord with respect, with reverence, with godly fear? How is it at the table of the Lord? How do we come to the Lord's table? Do we just walk in here loosely, just as we are? Or do we have the consciousness that the table, the Lord's table, is holy? It's a holy festal gathering. We should come to the Lord's table with respect and with godly fear, and we should prepare ourselves ahead of time. It's not that we condemn ourselves, realizing with such condemnation how impure we are. That's not the point, but we should still realize. We should not take it loosely. It's a shame to the Lord if we take it loosely. And what kind of offerings do we bring him? In the last few years, we have developed this habit to bring a spiritual offering to the Father every week. And if you do not have this habit yet, be encouraged to start now. There's not much time left. And also, it's not difficult. It is not difficult. If there's someone who wants to do it but doesn't know how, there's many saints that you can have fellowship with. It's not difficult because we live through the Lord every day. And if we practice this, to live by the Spirit and to gain the Lord in everything that we do every day, then we will have many experiences. Then, is it too much to ask to bring your best of what you've experienced to the Father once a week? That's not very much, is it? It's too little. Sometimes when you had a great week, then you couldn't decide, what should I bring to the Father? Wonderful. But then, just bring the best and not a long story. Don't make a long story out of it. And we can learn this here. We should practice and have reverence and godly fear and ask, what should I bring to the Father? And we've often said it, make it short, living and to the Father. And this also has to do with reverence. It's a holy matter to bring God an offering. We're bringing this offering to him, first and foremost to him and not to the saints. That's why to have reverence to God and to fear him is so important. And this has been really lost today. There are many Christian groups, modern Christian groups, where something is proclaimed about God and it's loose. He's loose. Some Christians call him Daddy. That's not how you can call God the Father. He is holy. He is to be feared. It's also something that God wants to see among us, that we should fear him. And here it says, a son honors his father. If I am the father, where is my honor? And what should we do? As first things, we should honor our father. That's also with our children. I do expect from my children that they honor me and respect me. And it really hurts when the children lose the respect. That is a shame. And it should not be among us like that. And for us, our first thing we should do is to honor him. In Matthew chapter 6, in the prayer, the Lord taught us, Father, our Father, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. That's the first thing that the Lord had on his heart, which was to hallow the Father's name. So we should ask ourselves, how much do I honor the Father in my life? And the Lord showed me a year ago and put this matter in my heart to honor the Father. to have this desire, as George mentioned. Father, I want to honor you in everything that I do. I want to prepare honor for you. I don't want to put you to shame. And if you have such a desire in your heart, then it becomes very practical. It affects our whole life, even how I dress myself. I want to honor the Father. I don't want to be shameful. How we deal with the daily things, how we do our work, this is all for the glory of God. Even what we eat. That is a good exercise. Father, I want to eat you. You have given me this body. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I also want to honor you with it. And a very important point is how we speak. We just read it. The Lord speaks very much about the lips. What crosses our lips? Sometimes we speak just as the nations speak. That's not good. They joke, they are loose, and we also joke and are loose. That's not good. That's a shame to the Father. They use bad words, and sometimes over our lips, some words come out that we are not fitting for saints to speak. So let us really give our lips to the Lord and tell the Lord, Lord, cleanse my lips and purify my lips. I want to honor you with my lips. It's very practical. And let us really seek out the Lord in our whole conduct. Because for God, it is a very terrible thing if his people are ashamed to him. In Romans, Paul said, for your sake, for God's people's, because of you, his name is dishonored. So let us be those who fear the name of the Lord. And in Malachi chapter 3, there's an encouragement. In chapter 3, verse 16, God's name is blasphemed. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. And listen and see what the Lord said. And he said, the Lord listened and heard them. Isn't that wonderful? When the Lord sees that here are some priests who truly fear me, who have it in their heart to honor me and to express my glory, he listens and hears them. And it says here that he even has a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord. And I like what it says here, how it was formally, and who meditate on his name or esteemed his name. Don't you want to be written in this special book? A book of remembrance, specifically for those who fear for the Lord and who honor his name, esteem his name. I want to be written in that book. I hope all of us will. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Soon the worst judgment on this world will come, worse than ever before, but there will be some whom he will spare. And according to Malachi 3, it will be those who fear him and those who esteem his name. And verse 18, I also like, then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. God wants to make this, reveal this difference. Let us be such where you can see a difference. It's terrible if we're so similar to the world. That's why the world says, the word says, do not be conformed to this world. Nowadays, many Christians are trying to come as near to the world as they can with the argument, to say that they want to get near, close to the people, to the young people. In the world, there are parties, and in the church, there are parties. In the world, these things will be made, these things are done, and in the church also, with a Christian tilt. But no, God wants to make a difference between those who serve him and those who do not serve him. Let us be those. That's why Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 says how we should serve God as priests today. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence. He emphasizes with reverence and godly fear. Amen. This is how the Lord wants us to serve Him, with reverence and godly fear. That's why let us not be loose, especially when we serve. Sometimes we think, oh, I'm serving the Lord in the church. Isn't that good? That's already good. There can't be anything wrong with that. But it's not just about serving. It's not just about doing something for God. But it's about being acceptable to Him, to serve Him with reverence and godly fear. And the scripture also warns us, for our God is a consuming fire. You all know the example of Nadab and Abihu. And they weren't just some people. They were priests. And they weren't just some priests. They were the sons of Aaron. And those from whom you would think that if anyone should know how to serve God, it should be them. And you know the story, what happened. They served God, but not according to His word, but with a strange fire. And immediately, fire. This consuming fire of which Hebrews 12 speaks about, and it consumed both of them. And there's a very verse in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1. They brought a strange fire before the Lord, which He had not commanded them. How often do we do things that the Lord has not commanded us, and we don't even ask Him, Lord, what do you want? That's dangerous. Maybe we won't fall dead right away because the Lord is merciful to us, but spiritually we may fall over dead, and we will be dead and without sensitivity, and we will just continue in corruption and still think that we are serving God. This is truly a warning, and verse 3 is pertinent. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. So Aaron held his peace. God wants to be glorified through His priesthood. So let us really take this with us and test it before the Lord. I think this is an important burden in this last time. We should ask the Lord, how should we serve Him? How should we conduct ourselves and walk before Him? Do we honor Him in everything that we do? In the last times, I've been praying, Lord, give me light in everything in my life that is not an honor to You, what You don't like, where I'm not expressing Your glory. It's so good, and the Lord will show it to us and help us. He will help us. But we all must have this desire in our hearts and to walk, as it says in Malachi chapter 2, in peace and in equity. How do we have peace with God if we fear Him and have reverence for Him? Then we will have much peace with Him. And then we will be saved day by day and be reconciled to Him. So let us be such a holy priesthood and pursue holiness. And holiness is not what I might be and you are it or not, but there is a process. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 1 says that we should perfect holiness in what? In the fear of the Lord. I think someone who does not fear the Lord will never perfect holiness, because the fear of the Lord is expressed if I don't dare to do certain things, to say things, to look at them or to touch them. This all has to do with the fear of the Lord. But if I don't fear the Lord and I'm loose, then I will do many unholy things and think the opposite of holy is not terrible, but common. In the end, we'll do very many common things that don't look bad, but they're not holy. It's not what God said. And that's why we must perfect perfect holiness in the fear of God, and ask the Lord, sanctify us completely until you come. We don't know how much time we still have, but if we repent, an earnest repentance during this conference and each day that we have today, give it to the Lord to pursue holiness, then the Lord can still do a lot in a very short time. Much purification, much sanctification, and working in us and perfecting us. So each day that we still have, and we can truly count the days, let us take these days seriously, and not just ourselves, not paying attention only for ourselves, but also the influence that we have on others. This also comes out in Malachi chapter 2. The priests have a great influence on others, positively and negatively. Positively, they turn many from their ways. Isn't that wonderful? If we fear the Lord and revere Him and pursue holiness, it will influence our environment that many in these last days will turn from their ways. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Don't you want to see many turning? Yeah. Let us not only have our perfection, but those others who still need to repent. Believers from God's people, there are many who must repent, but there are also many unbelievers, many souls that need to be saved. And it also depends on our condition. Negatively, we're also an influence. You cannot be neutral. God said to the priests, it's your fault that many have turned away. So if our condition is unholy and we're loose, and we're living in our flesh and in ourselves, we also influence other people, but it's not in a good way. For this reason, let us take the rest of the time that we have seriously. Praise the Lord for His word. He said, continue, you're not done yet. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. We can also read Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Let us read it together. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. Amen. Hallelujah. Behold, he is coming. But who can endure the day of his coming? Amen. That's why we must fear the Lord, because his coming will be a coming to his judgment, and he will judge his people. So let us allow the Lord to do his work in us, to refine us, to purify us. And it's wonderful, it says here, the sons of Levi. The Lord especially wants to purify the sons of Levi, his priests. He wants to perfect them. Let us not stand still, or it would be too tragic if we stop right before, or give up, or even fall back. Let us go on with all the saints and together with the Lord. Amen. Then, with joy and with confidence, we can go forward to the coming of the Lord. Do we have the song "O Sanctify Us, Lord" in German? Yeah, I think they do have it.